Business 650 presents Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show, and the ever-changing world of refreshed beverages and cocktails in a can. We'll discuss the brands. We'll meet the people behind the innovative ready-to-drink beverages hitting the market. We'll talk trends and the future of the industry. It's the fastest-growing segment of the spirits industry today. This is Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails on Sportsnet 650. And here are your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store brand ambassador, Daryl M.
We are broadcasting from Taste of Legacy, which is adjacent to Legacy Liquor Store in Olympic Village. Joe Leary along with Daryl Lamb, the brand ambassador of Legacy Liquor Store, Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show. Broadcasting on Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM, HD3. And it's sponsored by Canadian Club and Ginger Ale. Meet your new cold one. Well, Daryl, we're talking RTDs. Now, the weather has kind of seemed to shift a little bit to the better. I think the daylight is getting longer. I think the temperatures are ramping up a little bit, and we're getting into what I would figure would be peak RTD season.
And this is silly season now, man. Like, all the new stuff's coming in. My desk is filled. I'm currently at 47 new margaritas that have come across my desk. So, yeah, it's the time. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a pain. We just expanded the RTD selection at Legacy again, and you're going to see a lot more like cool local brands. You know, the kind of like, you know, Legacy is very much about focused on the local entrepreneur, and we're bringing in a lot of the smaller brands because the big guys are really coming in heavy.
And when we saw the explosion of RTDs, obviously the vodka market really dominated. And then that kind of took a bit of a path to another area because other brands or other flavors of alcohol became prominent. What about hard teas, iced teas? Where are they?
Well, I mean, that's been a category in the RTD longer than
it was the original.
So
was it not?
One of the original lemonades, teas, kind of thing. But really, they were just another extension of the old like 1980s cooler, right? Really sweet. Here's your like kid flavored iced tea mixed with vodka and things like that. But now we've got a better tea culture in British Columbia now because you've got people like Delano Tamburini, who runs the Vancouver Tea Show, and you've got people that are becoming tea sommeliers, and that's starting to permeate into the RTD business and cocktails in general. Tea cocktails are very popular in Vancouver, and we're starting to see that in RTD now.
Well, let's introduce Matt Ryan. He is the owner of Tea Beverages. Now, tea is spelled like hitting off the tee, T-E-E. Matt, good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
It has been a while, and I know that in our past acquaintances, we had talked about you introducing a brand. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, calendar-wise, that was around that time of COVID, was it not? That you were ready to launch. What did that do for an entrepreneur that's ready to build a brand and create it, and all of a sudden, dang, everything shuts down?
Yeah, obviously, it's challenging. You know, I think in the beverage space, we were fortunate enough to have, you know, retail partners and retail channels that we were still able to sell into. You know, I look at the hospitality industry and kind of the hit they took. And so from that standpoint, you know, the wholesale component to your business was still viable. And from that standpoint, we were fortunate. But just from an execution standpoint, being able to get in front of people, do activations, do programming, things like that is extremely challenging. So, you know, I think you saw a lot of established brands really be able to dig in and kind of pump their retail channels because they had those relationships. And so for a new brand, when you were trying to sell over the phone or anything like that, it became quite challenging.
Yeah, right? We had tea in Legacy in that era, and it was tough for anybody launching that brand because, you know, liquid to lips is really important, especially when you're trying to knock off like the bigger brands and the more established brands. And then also when you come with a whole new twist on an old style of category. So tea wasn't your big, sweet, kind of Lipton, Brisk, McCain, frozen iced tea flavor. You came in with an unsweetened, no sugar concept, which wasn't really well known, so you never had a chance to try them with the public.
Yeah, and I think for us, you know, that's a differentiator we always really try and highlight is there's a lot of hard iced teas or things like that in the market. That's not us. You know, I grew up on Hales. I understand that space, but for us, we really wanted to do something that was
by
just...
By grow up, he means after he turned 19.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sorry.
tried
LDA, sorry. But for us, so we wanted to do something that was just a tea-infused, non-sweetened drink, and so that's kind of where we landed. So we essentially take tea, and we steep it in the vodka, and we let it kind of just sit. We take it out, and then we blend it and carbonate it, and that's how we get it, and it's unsweetened. So, you know, it's not exactly like a hard tea necessarily, but for us, it kind of keeps a lot of the elements in that category, while not kind of being that super heavy sweet drink that you see.
But I like the flavors. The fruit flavors really...
Yeah, they're great.
They give you that illusion of sugar without sugar. The passion fruit is nice and rich. I loved it. I loved it years ago. I love it now. I love the fact that you're using combinations of flavors. Lemon, hibiscus, rose, and lychee. Those are like really nice flavor profiles. You don't necessarily need the sugar. You just need the flavor of the tea to really come through.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think for us, like on the RTD side, you know, it sounds silly, but like for me, I looked at the beverage alcohol space. I've been in it a long time, and we've got vodka is like the most popular drink from an alcohol standpoint, and tea is the second most popular drink in the world behind water in the sure. non-alc space. And so for me, it was kind of putting those together in a way where we were able to combine flavors and unique ingredients and keep it approachable for people, but still have like that element.
We've had a number of guests on the show, Daryl, as you'll recall, where we talk about where did the impetus, where did the idea come from? And a lot of times it happened around your island, your kitchen island.
It's the kitchen table story.
Kitchen
right?
table, you know, you're having a couple of drinks with your friends, and it's like, hey, we can do something like this. How did tea get created?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we, like I alluded to, I've been in the beverage space a long time, and I actually years ago was diagnosed with a heart condition, which sounds way more serious than it is. But I'm not really supposed to drink caffeine. And so when I started kind of on my entrepreneurship journey, I would always go to meetings and I'd drink tea. I'd drink herbal tea when I took meetings, and everyone kind of like always scoffed and was like, why are you drinking tea? So I always kind of laughed at that. But that really led into, you know, I was in the beer space for a long time, and I really wanted to move into the RTD space. And I was approached by a couple guys who really wanted to enter the space as well. And one of them kind of had a kinship with tea as well. So that was kind of the nexus of it. And we really looked at a lot of different iterations around that and kind of how we could incorporate it. And ultimately, we kind of felt that doing a real tea-infused vodka beverage was really kind of the way to go in the space at the time. It's kind of sometimes just as simple as that. We didn't really agonize over it for a long time. We really just sat on that, like you said, around a couple cocktails at a restaurant and went from there.
So did you decided, like, you created a bunch of flavors simultaneously, is that correct?
Correct.
So I don't know if there's a right or wrong in how to launch a product, but we've seen a lot of more. They come out usually with a vodka soda, for example, and then they start to experiment beyond that. So you came up with how many flavors?
Yeah, so we have 4 SKUs currently in market, but we probably iterated, I'd say, 9 or 10 different flavors to start.
So there were some that didn't exactly ring the bell for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I was really, you know, for transparency, I was really into a tea called Tulsi. It's like Tulsi, and it's out of India, and it has like a licorice flavor to it.
It does.
And I really wanted to like do something around that with strawberry, and I just thought there was some really cool, and it just could not get it to work. Like, it just didn't. Right. Like, licorice is just an off flavor in vodka, and I couldn't get it to work. So it's just interesting. Like, we really tried a bunch of different things, but all 4 that we kind of have here now, you know, unanimously kind of passed the test. The rose lychee is probably still the most, I don't want to use the word controversial, the most polarizing.
For what reason?
I just think people aren't, in North America, aren't necessarily as
familiar with
lychee as a flavor.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I think rose inherently is a strong aroma. So I think people sometimes just have a slight aversion to that, but generally when they try it, they actually really enjoy it.
So you mentioned earlier about like liquid to lips, which was kind of shuttered during the COVID period. Now that we're back available to do festivals and things like that, what's the rollout plan for tea?
Yeah, that's great. So we're really excited. So we've got some really cool partners. One of my partners, him and his wife own a company called Brunette the Label, which is a Vancouver-based clothing company. And so through that, we've been able to do some really fun activations and events in that space. We're doing a really cool program that's called the Tea Happy Hour, where we're going to local businesses and just throwing essentially a Friday afternoon tea party for them. And we're just mixing cocktails and serving tea and really kind of getting in front of people and showing them, featuring the brand. And then from a programming standpoint, you know, we're doing some really fun summer programming. We've got some really elevated tea sets and some really nice, beautiful, like beach equipment that we're giving away as part of like our summer programming as well. So yeah, we're really excited.
Matt Ryan is our guest. He is the owner of Tea Beverages, spelled T-E-E. As we've talked about before, when you think about, you know, and we talked about, it's cheaper, say, for a bar owner to make his own vodka soda than to sell a can of prepared vodka soda. But this isn't something that a bar owner is likely going to make. So what is the plan? Are RTDs getting more accessible? Are more operators out there looking at them going, yeah, you know what, I'll take your product on?
Yeah, I think so. And I think for me, you know, it's like I think it, I look at it from a brand equity standpoint, right? And I think that a lot of people look at have there's products in the RTD space where you go into a restaurant and yeah, you can order essentially the same thing, but people resonate with a particular sure. brand and they want to order it. And I think restaurants are just sort of realizing that value in the RTD space. They've understood that value forever in other categories, right? Like whether it's a wine or a beer, you know, people, when the guys at Brass Neck first came out, people would fight over
yeah.
getting taps for Brass Neck, yeah. right? Because they understood yeah. the value of having it on tap. I think you're starting to see now in the RTD space, restaurants understanding that like, yeah, even though I can make this drink, there's actually value in just bringing it in and having that brand recognition for customers seeing it in the store.
So where are some places where people can purchase tea? Again, spelled T-E-E. This is really good, Matt.
Yeah,
kudos. Kudos. It's really good.
Nice. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we're fairly new, so we're just launching in the private retail channel right now, so private liquor stores. And then we're really fortunate to have some partners in Vancouver specifically in the restaurant industry as well that are supporting us. Gooseneck Group, for example, Lucky Taco, places like that. And we're working with the guys at the Parlor and a lot of those places as well. So yeah, we're really fortunate. But if you're looking for it right now, your private liquor stores are probably your best bet.
How do people find you on social media?
We're at Tea Beverages.
And again, it's T-E-E.
T-E-E Beverages. Yeah, we do a lot of work through our social media. It's a big component of our business. We do giveaways. We do collaborations with, as I alluded to, Brunette and some other fun brands, local Vancouver-based brands. So give us a follow, and you'll get a chance to win some cool prizes as well.
That's great. I love it. It's fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us, and it's good to see local entrepreneurs succeeding in that. And again, the other thing is that this is not a crowded lane.
We
always caution people, like, if you want to get into the RTD business, if you're thinking of a vodka soda lemon lime, it's been done.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of find your lane, and you're in a lane that's, you got some clear passage in your lane.
It's a good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
You're listening to Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show on Sportsnet 650. Here again are your hosts, Joe Leary, and Legacy Liquor Store brand ambassador, Daryl M.
Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show, broadcasting on Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM HD3. Available wherever you get your podcasts as well. The RTD show is sponsored by Canadian Club and Ginger Ale. Meet your new cold one. Joe Leary and Daryl Lamb, as we broadcast from the Taste of Legacy, which is adjacent to the legendary Legacy Liquor Store in Olympic Village, which is replete with, I don't even, do you have a count of how many canned products you have in that store?
Oh, my goodness, no. I know overall we're just over 7,600 different items in the store.
Right.
But I couldn't tell you which ones are in can and which one are not. I would probably say around 4,000 cans.
Okay, 4,000 cans. And you're always on the lookout for something new and inventive and something that just catches the eye, something that's going to catch the consumer's eye when they walk in. And I don't know how you juggle it. It's a delicate balance. I know that.
You know what? Like, it's a thing where we got to look at what our customers want. It's not necessarily our personal taste, things that they're going to work. And but then sometimes, like, what's new? There's stuff that, you know, we don't know. Somebody comes in and says, hey, do you have this? And when we say no, that's when it starts the journey of how do we say yes.
Right.
Right? And so I've been in the industry for a long time. I've been, I've dubbed the king of the RTD and things like that. But there was a new kind of RTD that came across my desk that I hadn't heard of before. So I had to go and study this thing, and I thought this was really cool. And it harkens back to my youth. It harkens back to, you know, a place to live, a place to grow, Ontario.
A place to stand and a place to grow,
Ontario. Where the great grow. And, I had to sing that at an Ontario place back in the 80s.
Yes.
Kind of sting. But, like, one of my favorite breweries in all of Canada is Muskoka Brewery.
I love it.
And I think they make some incredible beers. I'm so glad they're back in our market. But, like a lot of breweries, they've also come into the RTD space. But rather than, you know, Joe, like we talked about earlier, following the let's do a vodka soda, let's do a tequila soda with lime, that kind of stuff. They went completely off the beaten track and brought a new style of RTD to the market.
Well, and I think that is so vital because, again, there's a lot of same. That's not to knock anything that's on the shelves, but you need to find your lane. You need to create something that's maybe going to create some excitement and not just be another version of X, Y, and Z. We're joined by Victoria Rombas, who is the brand manager of the legendary Muskoka Brewing and Muskoka Spirits. Pleasure to have you on the show, Victoria. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction and the shout-outs to Ontario. I appreciate it.
Well, again, like, I spent 5 years in Ontario, and Daryl is from Ontario, and despite the fact that I'm not a Leafs fan and he is, other than that, we agree on a lot of things, and good beer comes out of Muskoka. When did you get into the spirits game?
Well, so you folks know you're familiar with the brewery. We've been brewing since 1996. Beer truly is our bread and butter. We're definitely one of the first sort of pioneer craft breweries in Ontario. We got into the spirits game a couple years ago. I know you two have been doing this show around 5 years. That's kind of when we saw the trend shifting towards martinis and spirits, and we saw the consumers sort of changing their interests a little bit. So the Skoka Spirits started, yeah, I would say probably 4 or 5 years ago now. We've been through a couple iterations of our product lineup, but we're coming to market now with our Muskoka long drink, which we're super, super excited about.
A long drink.
A long drink.
A long drink. I had to look it up. Yeah. I was unfamiliar. And then I found out Laplanders have been drinking long drinks for almost a century.
Okay.
And a Laplander comes from Finland.
So for the uncultured like myself, okay, what exactly is a long drink?
Well, why don't we let Victoria tell us?
Okay, Victoria, what is a long drink?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been asking that question, and I'm so excited to tell you all about it. It comes from Finland. The Finnish long drink is a cocktail that was designed back in 1952. From our research, it's quite possibly the first RTD ever. I know you're the RTD king, so maybe fact check me on that. But yeah, from what we can tell, it might have been the first ready-to-drink cocktail, so to speak. It was a cocktail that was commissioned, actually, by the government of Finland. In 1952, they were hosting the Olympic Games in Helsinki.
Oh, they were.
And of course, they had prohibition till sort of early 1930s in Finland. And so between that time of, you know, late, early 1930s and the 1950s, they had some pretty strict alcohol laws. And when they won the bid to host the Olympic Games, they kind of panicked a little bit, thinking, oh my gosh, our city's going to be overrun by all of these tourists and all of these visitors. How do we make sure that our bars can keep up? Our bartenders aren't completely overrun. So they commissioned the creation of a easy to drink, sessionable cocktail that they can create in big batches and people can drink all day long.
Geez, Joe, that sounds like our experience in 2010 when the government of British Columbia was like, we're hosting the Olympics. Yeah. We better modernize our alcoholic beverage
rules.
It's
about time.
It was only, you know, 50 years after Finland did it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, they came up with the Finnish long drink, or what they call the long caro. It was initially created by Hartwall, which is a spirits company based out of Finland. And it just really took off from there. People loved it. There's sort of a whole, like, culture built around this cocktail, this, like, the way that they enjoy it, the way the ritual in which that they drink it all day long. It is a gin cocktail with grapefruit and soda. And we decided, you know, we were super inspired by not only that story, but US, they've got a couple different variations of the long drink in the market right now. And the Finnish long drink company in the US, they brought it to market, and it's now in like one of the top 10 selling RTDs in the entire country. So, you know, we were super inspired by the story, and we were looking into it, doing research kind of like you were. And we thought, you know, Finland is not that different from Muskoka. It's a country with a ton of lakes. You know, you can see the northern lights, you can travel through pristine forests. There's a super active lifestyle there. They're very into the wilderness, into nature. And it really just, the more that we researched it, the more that we looked into it, it felt exactly like our experience in Muskoka. And so we said, why don't we be the ones to bring this cocktail to Ontario and to Canada?
It's really funny you say that. So in a previous life, I used to work on cruise ships. And I often say everybody but my two daughters to go work on a cruise ship in their 20s. And I got into a place where the biggest cruise ship construction facility in the world is in Finland. So I got to spend a summer in the Vesa shipyards, Vesa, Finland. And that was the thing that really hit me. So I summered in Muskoka, in Bracebridge, when I was growing up. My mom worked in the school system. And it just feels like Muskoka there. And it's such a natural synergy that you can really really appreciate what you mean when you think of Finland and you think of Muskoka. It's amazing, Joe. The Canadian Shield is like a piece of Finland was dropped in the middle of Ontario, other than it's like 20 times bigger than Finland.
Yeah.
Or maybe a piece of Muskoka was broken off and put in Europe. So it's really cool. And then we did a tasting, Joe, in the store, and we wanted to see how it was going to go, because this is a new thing.
Daryl, I was going to say, because we talk on this show all the time, not to demean any product that's currently on the shelves, but there's a lot of similar products out there. And it's kind of cool when something comes along that you go, wow, I didn't see that coming.
And that's what happened. We sold out. Like, I bought a good chunk, more than I normally would, because I thought, oh, this might work. We sold it all out. And people loved it. And the thing that I think they really were curious and interested about is the fact that, like, This is not your usual 355 ml can, right? This is a 568 ml king can. This is a big beverage. This is big.
Yeah.
Why did you go with the biggest can? Like, are you certified by the Guinness Book of World Records as the biggest can in the market?
No. Not yet. Maybe we'll look into that for sure. But I mean, you guys kind of said it. We wanted to come to market with something super unique, and that ritual that I was talking about, how the people in the Finnish culture like really create this ritual around drinking this cocktail all day long. It felt natural to try to bring it to the market in a larger format, and so that 568 mil can felt super. Like the right fit for this liquid for sure. And we're also seeing a ton of growth. The 568 ml can with a 19 ounce can south of the border is one of the fastest growing formats in the US. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing, you know, take home sales in the US. A lot of people are shifting to that larger can. And not only does it work well with just sort of the concept of the beverage and the cocktail with, you know, enjoying it in quite a long session. It also is, thank you. So the 19 ounce can definitely also, the cool advantage to that is that we get to deliver a lot more value to the customer as well, because they're getting a lot more than just that 473 or 355 ml can. We're really delivering a ton of value that way as well.
It's really cool. It's a light, and you got two great flavors. You got the grapefruit and then you have the cranberry. Is there anything else that you're thinking about coming out the line? Is this going to keep growing, the Muskoka long drink? Are you going to try other flavors? Or are you just going to see how this works first?
I mean, you might be jumping ahead there. You might be looking into the future a little bit. But, we're super excited. We've got the grapefruit, of course, like the original long drink. And then, you're correct, we have a cranberry Muskoka long drink as well. Cranberries, of course. If you did your summers in Bracebridge, I wonder if you'd ever visited the sort of world-famous Bala Cranberry Festival.
I probably 500 concerts at the Kita Bala as well.
There you go.
The best
exactly.
music venue in the whole country. I saw Kim Mitchell there, Joe. I saw Kim Mitchell there.
Kim Mitchell. We're getting real Ontario right now.
Yeah. David Wilcox opened up for him.
It was in Bob Cajun. Okay. Now, Victoria, again, I have a real fondness for Muskoka Brewing. And I spent 5 years in Ontario. And the one thing that I learned that I had not known about Ontario prior to moving there was cottage country.
Yes.
And when you think of cottage country, you think of Muskoka. So I know that it's really akin to Ontario. Is it not gratifying to hear Daryl Lamb here, a former Ontarian who lives on the West Coast now, hearing that people are really, because they may not be familiar with Muskoka, they may not know cottage country, but they're learning the brand through something totally unique in the RTD family.
Gratifying for sure. I don't even know if that fully encompasses how I feel towards that, because it is genuinely very exciting. And I know that, especially too, the BC market is so loyal to your local producers, which of course it should be. We support that too.
Sure.
So the fact that you're welcoming a company like us with a brand like this is really exciting. And I want the listeners to know too, if you don't know anything about Muskoka Brewery and Muskoka Spirits, you know, we're a great place to work certified. We have gold certification for gender parity. We were the first brewery in Canada to institute a living wage. And, you know, local is important to us too. So just know that, you know, when you're picking up a can of Muskoka Spirits long drink, like you can feel really, really good about supporting us as well.
We need a fair trade certification in Canada. That's where we're at.
And it's got the familiar, you know, cottage country chair or the Muskoka chair on the can. And my goodness, I can only imagine how many people are going to be quaffing these in cottage country this summer.
I love it. Or cabin country, as
cabin
we say
country,
out here.
Yeah.
The cool thing too is that, you know, we design these beverages, make you feel like you're in Muskoka, even if you aren't, you're in, you know, Vancouver Island or in the Lower Mainland, you can be transported to that feeling of release, that moment of exhale. You can feel like you're sitting on a dock in cottage country.
Well, speaking of transported, now that the restrictions are off and you can do tastings and things like this, will we see a presence? Will we see tastings? Will we see you in our country, in our part of the country, in the upcoming months?
Definitely. We've got the Muskoka long drink at about 170 stores in the Lower Mainland and Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Most stores do have both flavors, the grapefruit original flavor and then the cranberry as well. You might not see me. I would love to get out there as soon as I can. If you have plane tickets you want to throw my way, just call me up. You've got my number now. But you'll see our team out there for sure doing some samplings, try to get the liquid to lips and really trying to tell the story of this long drink and get it out to the people. But folks can be, you know, if this is something that sounds exciting to you and it's not at your local liquor store yet, definitely ask them to bring it in for you. We'd super appreciate it.
Absolutely. And it's a great brand. I love Muskoka Brewing, and I'm so excited to try this. Victoria Rombus, the brand manager of Muskoka Brewing and Spirits, calling us. Are you in Cottage Country right now? Are you in Muskoka right now?
I'm at the brewery, but I'm okay. Sitting in my car because it's the quietest place at the whole brewery.
Okay. So you're not in a Muskoka chair? That's what you're saying?
No.
Oh, okay.
I will be. I mean, it's almost 4 o'clock here, so.
Yeah.
You can catch me in a Muskoka chair in about 15 minutes enjoying a Muskoka long drink.
I'm so glad that we connected. I'm so glad that Daryl introduced me to this product, and this is going to be going on my shelves at home real fast. Thank you so much, Victoria. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
The RTD and Spirit Show on Sportsnet presents On the Shelves with Dave Benson of Kitsilano Liquor Store on West Broadway and Vine. We'll keep you up to date on all that's in and coming in the red-hot world of RTD and Spirits. Here's what's on the shelves.
Time again for On the Shelves, presented by the Kitsilano Liquor Store on West Broadway, where progress is being made around the Broadway corridor here as the Canada Line is revving up. Dave Benson is the proprietor of Kitsilano Liquor Store. Every time I come out here once a month to see you, Dave, the road variations are different, but it's making progress.
Yeah, it is. They are actually doing something, despite what many think. There is progress being made, and it's not nearly as jammed up as it was, say, even six, seven months ago. So yeah. It is nice to see. I mean, not back to normal, but it is a lot more functional, let's say that.
I still feel for the merchants further down, but this part of Broadway around Arbutus, is parking is fine, everything's good.
That's right. We're okay here, and yeah, it really does suck for all these small businesses. Yeah. And I feel their pain because I'm one of them. So I feel bad for them. So hopefully this will be over in the rearview mirror sooner than later.
Well, let's talk about what's on the shelves at the Kitsilano Liquor Store. And again, you know, you pack virtually every square inch of this place with product of all kinds because you have to, because that's where the market is. But I think we've seen some trends start to shift. I know that, you know, we started off with the 5% canned RTDs. Mm-hmm. Then they bumped that up to 7% RTDs, and we got away from the vodkas, and we started to get more into some of the other spirits. And I see something that you've got in front of us here, Tequila Smash.
Yes, tequila is quite big. I think you'll see a lot of that focus. I think last year you saw, as far as the RTDs go, there was a shift from vodka base and then into gin. Gin was quite popular. And then towards the end, you started seeing a few of the tequila samples, and I think they resonated well with a lot of the, most people like them. And tequila's come a long way. It's not like just the Cuervo days and, you know, just down and dirty and you're slamming it back. And so now you're going to see, I think, a bunch of this coming into the summer and hopefully good weather not too far off. And one of these things is Georgian Bay. We've sold their stuff before. They have a gin smash and whatnot. And now they're Canadian, but they're Ontario-based. But now they came out with a 12-pack mixer with a tequila smash. And, you know, they've got a mango, pineapple, grapefruit, things like that. And it's one of the first ones that's arrived on the shelves. I was talking to you off-air. You'll start to see a lot of the new products start to roll in over the next month or so. So it'll be really cool for consumers. So there'll be some new stuff coming down the pike pretty hot and heavy.
Yeah, I'm curious to try that. So that's Georgian Bay Tequila Smash Mixed Pack. And this, I know, is not 5% and it's not 7%.
It's 6%. It's We're going to split the difference, Joe. But yes, just what you alluded to, you know, everyone's low calorie, this and that. I think you're seeing a little bump up in alcohol and a little bump up in flavor. This is sort of what the trend I see. And I think you'll see more of that. So don't be surprised to see more sevens and sixes. I haven't seen many sixes, but people are trying to, I think they're trying to get that flavor profile a little harder than, say, the lighter ones.
And we should give a shout out to our friends from Neutral, because they really started the RTD vodka trend. I see you've got a new flavor.
Yeah, and my buddy Paulie Meehan, hey Paulie, he gave me the heads up, and they've got a new flavor, and it's grape. And it actually, everyone that's tried it's loved it. Yeah. So We finally got it in the store, which is nice. And so I've already got people asking about it. Yeah. So it seems to be a hot thing. So they're pretty proud of this one. And we got a boatload so come by and get some.
Okay, sounds good. Now, what are we looking at in terms of a spirit of your choice?
Well, spirits, you know what? I like lots of different spirits, but I like a nice rum. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with a Bacardi, but a little more flavor. And this Santissima Trinidad, it's a Cuban 7-year-old, and it is delicious straight up.
Oh, okay.
Straight up, but it's also great for any cocktails. Right. You throw this in with any kind of like pineapple, orange, that kind of citrus thing. You can put this with anything, and it's you can see the quality. It's mm-hmm. it's like a racehorse. This is a classy racehorse versus.
So you can sit at home with a snifter of rum.
Yes, it's believe me, it is that smooth, and it has a good taste profile, and you can drink this straight up, and not just slam it back. You can sip it. So when you have a quality liquid like that, it's going to just up your cocktail game as well. So it's definitely worth it to try and when you, especially if you're into cocktails like we were talking about as well, to get the proper proper ingredients, let's say, is key.
Well, it's fun to mess around with it. I was telling you, I'm starting to build acquire and stock a back bar at home. And it's fun to experiment when it's not costing $16 to experiment.
That's right. Exactly. Do it yourself. Do it yourself, and you'll get a lot more out of it. So yeah, and there's great cocktails out there to make, and it's funny. You should be adventurous, and mm-hmm. you know that's what the internet's great for. Is look up. There's some great cocktail recipes, and it's something that you wouldn't think of it, but if you take the time to think of it, you probably create something you'll really really like, and become in the rotation hard for you. Like once you try it. So yeah, you'll have fun with that.
Okay, and finally, what do you like in wine wise?
Well, you know, just because I like to say Walla Walla, Walla Washington, I got just down the road from a Seven Hills winery. They got a lovely Merlot. It's a very nice winery. Actually, Walla Walla has got a lot of good wineries down there. Drew Bledsoe has a nice one down there, former NFL QB. He has a double double back, and they have tremendous wines down there. Well, and this is another one in that area, Seven Hills. Really, just a good solid Merlot. Doesn't break the bank, but it's just a lovely wine. And you get to call it, say it's from Walla Walla, Washington, the Triple W.
All of which are on the shelves at the Kitsilano Liquor Store on West Broadway, just a couple doors down from the Regal Beagle. Dave Benson, kind of playing through pain. You just underwent some surgery. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, it's still. They say my brain still doesn't function like it's supposed to, Joe. But yeah, I'm feeling a bit better. You're just getting old. I don't recommend it to all your listeners out there. Skip the getting old part.
Exactly.
You know.
Always a pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
You too, Joe. Good to see you.
Cheers.
It's Vancouver's hottest selling segment in the world of spirits today. Cider, sodas, and cocktails. And you've got it exclusively on Sportsnet 650. Once again, your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store spirits educator, Daryl Lamb.
Cider, sodas, and cocktails, the RTD show on Sportsnet 650, is powered by Canadian Club and Ginger Ale. Meet your new cold one. Joe Leary, along with Daryl Lamb, the brand ambassador of Legacy Liquor Store in Olympic Village. We are broadcasting from Taste of Legacy, which is an adjunct, if I use that term correctly, to Legacy Liquor Store. This is now March. This is spring. Daryl, welcome to spring.
Welcome.
Happy spring. How's your spring going so far?
You know, it's pretty good. I managed to slip away. I left Canada for the first time in like 3 years. Longest period of being in Canada as an adult, so it was nice to look at stuff a little different than
no airplane horror stories. It was all good.
It was fine. It was good. We got there, and you know what, man? Mexico was just exactly what we needed. Right. Like icebergs and beaches. That's all we really needed, man. You know, like margarita scoops on top of lager. It was great. And spring's great. The weather's coming along. I think people are finally starting to come out of their shell. We're seeing the walk-ups grow again, and like we're definitely. You know, we're in the new world. We're in the world of interest rates and inflation and things like that. So I think people are starting to realize that, hey, you know what? Your best bang for your buck might be a pack of RTDs. And, you know, the greatest balcony or patio in the world is looking at the North Shore Mountains on the seawall. But you walk home and drink in your own house. You don't drink on the seawall. That's not what I'm suggesting.
Never. But, of course not.
You know. But que sera, sera. But that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a real nice like return to people just like, okay, we need to get out of the shell shock and return to living and loving.
Well, coming up on the show, Daryl, we've got some exciting elements. First of all, we have a new feature called Behind the Bar where I have given, because Canadian Club is one of our sponsors, I have given a bottle of Canadian Club 12-year-old to a bartender, a young bartender called Arturo Garcia, who's going to make a couple of cocktails and explain exactly what he's doing.
And the 12-year-old is awesome.
12-year-old is absolutely awesome. As well, we are going to introduce you to a brand that is really near and dear to our hearts because you're from Ontario. I spent 5 great years in Ontario. And one of the things that I really came to learn was the cottage culture or cottage country culture. This is where people have these fabulous vacation resorts, whatever, the vacation
or
homes
like
on the
me,
water.
You had a trailer on the side of a lake.
Trailer.
It was great. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So if you know anything about Ontario, you know of Muskoka. Muskoka Brewing has been around for a bunch of years. Great beers. There's now Muskoka Spirits, and we're going to try something which is new to my palate, and maybe you can explain it a little bit. What exactly is a long drink?
A long drink is an old-school Finnish drink that was developed for the Olympics way back in the 1950s, and it was just meant to be like a nice batched gin cocktail that you could sip the whole time you were there without necessarily getting out of control. It was a lot of fun, and never really came over here, and Muskoka has brought it to Canada, and I cannot believe how fast people are picking it up.
Yeah. I'm curious to talk to see about the origins of why they would come up with something like that. But again, we always talk in the show, find your lane. You know, look at what alleyway is really crowded and what can I do to sort of
That's
create
right.
some interest for myself. And I think Muskoka's certainly hit the nail on the head on that one. As well, we're going to talk to Matt Ryan, who has a beer background. But Matt Ryan has introduced a tea product called, oddly enough, tea, spelled T-E-E.
Yeah, it's a reintroduction because they tried, like they brought it out in the middle of COVID and then it was just like, you know, you couldn't taste anything and they were coming in with a new kind of tea beverage. So we had it at Legacy. It did well. They just decided to pause, pump the brakes a bit, and they've come back better than ever.
And we are going to start off the show with something very local, because if there's one thing I've learned in my history with you, Daryl, is that when it comes to stocking the shelves at Legacy, local wins.
Local wins all the time. We love local, and we also love local entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs, and I don't think there's a better story in the entire industry than this company.
Absolutely. And speaking of love, the last name is Lovenmark. It is Olivia Lovenmark. You created this brand called Duchess.
Yes.
And we talk on this program constantly about finding a way to sort of draw the viewer or the consumer's eye to something that kind of just separates itself from the rest. And you win that one. You tick that box easily. Your product Duchess comes in packaging that you just wouldn't expect to see in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of it's crazy to me that we don't have more options in the bottle space. On the practical side, it's just really hard to put a product in a bottle here in Western Canada, and it obviously costs a lot more. But for us, it was all about what's the customer experience and who's drinking this and what do they expect out of their lifestyle. They really like a diptyque candle. They like a good fragrance, and Duchess sits really well next to both those things.
And Daryl, when you first saw this product, again, you probably were turned on by the fact it's unique looking and it's local. But did you think to yourself, wow, that's kind of different. Like, where do I position that, or how will the consumer react to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, we it's interesting. We coined the term ready to serve a few episodes ago, Joe, and it's now become the industry standard that fast. That's how powerful our show here on Sportsnet is. So the ready to serve category, and this was the first that really kind of dipped into this, where the idea is you could drink it from the lovely frosty glass bottle, but if you poured it into a martini glass, it looked even better, and it was as if you made your own cosmopolitan. And Duchess was like nothing I had ever seen. Remy, our old spirit supervisor, he was an early adopter, so this is going to be monstrous. It was like a UN food drop. Like, as soon as like this thing came in the store, it was just like...
I've never
like,
heard that.
I'd never seen like so many like Gucci handbags fighting over an RTD will never happen again kind of thing. It was just like these beautiful like pink boxes, the frosty glass, everything like that. And you're just seeing the super educated, very powerful people instantly adopted an RTD brand. It was like high class White Claw, and I'd never seen anything like it. And it was so much fun. And then just like hit after hit after hit. So first you had the Duchess, then the Cosmopolitan. Of course, we all love Sex and the City. I'm a big Kim Cattrall fan. Then the Lemon Drop came in. Then Sports Club came in, which was like the Duchess you drank before you got to the real Duchess. And then a brand new, and I'm so excited about the brand new cocktail that has arrived, because you know we're all looking for a new path to follow. And it's not a tequila soda. It's not a Paloma. And in rolls the Duchess French 75, which is one of my favorite cocktails of all time.
Okay, so a little bit of a personal story. As you know from doing this show, as much as I enjoy the pre-made cocktails, it's kind of brought me to a point where I'm trying to create them myself, old school wise. So I'm stocking a back bar at home. And I'm learning there's things like you need a Boulevardier and a French 75. For the uninitiated, what exactly is a French 75?
Well, why don't we let the boss lady
okay,
tell us
Olivia,
all about
would you tell us?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a really lovely, light, refreshing, gorgeous cocktail. Really sort of simple quality ingredients. You've got a sparkling wine. You can do it with a champagne, a sparkling white, a little bit of a botanical gin, and some lemon juice. And it's the perfect light, good for, I think, anyone and everyone cocktail. Good for small, big celebrations.
So what is the thought process that goes into the flavors that run through your mind? I mean, are you just trying to be different? Are you thinking, well, these are things I enjoy myself? Or do you have like a think group, a think tank? Do you have a focus group that you work with? Where do you come up? Why would you come up with a French 75? I love it.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious what brought you to that point?
We don't have a think tank. A little bit of the other two, for sure. We produce what we would like to see on the shelf, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it started out with something without doing research, market research. Started out with just like, you know, Cosmo's always been my favorite drink. I grew up watching Sex and the City. I'm sure my mom did not love that for me. But as soon as I could drink, Cosmo's were the go-to. And so when it sort of dawned on me, like, hey, someone should bottle this, that was just like a very clear, this is on brand for me. I get this drink. I get the market for it. And then from there, it was like, okay, let's stick with quality cocktails that people are going to recognize, because that recognition, I think, really helps the buyer when they know what that flavor profile is going to be like. And let's stick with like classic quality that doesn't have 15 ingredients. Like, let's keep it really simple and really good. And then for us, it was like, let's just talk to our customers and ask what they want. We know what our lineup, what we want it to look like, but what did they want to see? And then those flavors do come out of the comments. Like, we see them and we pay attention.
How long ago did you launch Duchess?
So formally, it was December 2020. So it was just over 2 years ago.
Okay. And what was your expectation when you launched it?
I had no expectation.
You had zero. Really? You came out of the gate with nothing? Okay.
I mean, we wanted to sell it. But you know, we were told when we first did our first run was 7,000 bottles. And we were told it could take you 6 months to sell through this. And we sold through in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So that set the tone for us. But again, like, we knew this is the pandemic. People are drinking at home. Like, there's going to be a roller coaster here. We don't know what to expect.
We got 300 4-packs. We went hard, and 3 days, gone. Gone.
Wow.
And then didn't get any again for 6 months.
The production was a challenge.
And one of the things I like, Joe, about the French 75 that they picked. So I'm a big fan of French 75s. They're great. You see them at galas. They're very, really great bar cocktail. And why you don't see them a lot at home is the sparkling wine.
Sparkling wine, yeah.
You buy a bottle of sparkling wine, you pop that top, you got bubbles for 2 hours.
Right.
So if you're going to make
that's
French...
That's no problem at my place.
Yeah. But if it's Tuesday night and you want a French 75...
Still no problem at my
place. You're in for a lot of French
75s. You got 10 French 75s
coming. I'm in for 13. Let's go.
Right.
Instead, now I can buy a 4-pack and I can just... My wife and I can crack it. Because keep in mind, these are not RTDs in the traditional sense.
No, they're
5%.
Not.
These are proper cocktails. So these are 12%. Mm-hmm. It is essentially a half bottle of wine when you crack one of them. So when you're buying a 4-pack, it is 2 bottles of wine. And so you crack the crack one. My wife and I can each have a French 75. We can have 2 if we want to open up another bottle. But it gives me options to not be all in. It's the same option with the Aperol Spritz when we had Pry on here and they've got the new Aperol Spritz in a bottle. I don't need to have 13 Aperol spritzes before that bottle of wine dies. Right. I can round up one, and this is where it's really, really big hit.
Well, I'm curious, Olivia, because you mentioned earlier about the packaging. It is more costly, obviously.
Yep.
when you're launching a brand, it's not as if you're throwing endless piles of money at it. You have a finite amount of budget that you want to throw into the product.
Yep.
You knew that this was going to be more expensive. Were you just insistent, no, I must have this packaging?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, and so one of the things that differentiates us in the industry and that is important to us is we're a self-funded company. We don't have outside investors helping us grow. And so we are really, really purposeful about how we spend every dollar. We bootstrap, we make cash, we put it back, and we reinvest in the business. And so for us, one of the biggest differentiators was, well, I should just take a step back. If you're going to go in with your own cash and do this and really do it, you've got to be like really purposeful with every decision you're making, every dollar.
You've got to be laser focused for sure.
100%. Yeah. And so for us, it was like, okay, if we're going to make a difference in the market and do something that stands out, we've got to go all in. And we also know exactly who our customer is. And she wasn't being, I mean, it's everybody, but at the end of the day, it's predominantly women. And we know what she wants. And we think it's this. And so it was like, and the other part of that is, frankly, from a business perspective, is when you're not going on the can side, is when you are going on the bottle and you can have a premium product, you can also charge a premium price, right?
Sure.
It just follows suit. And so I don't think the stores mind.
It's we have a lot of people that when they first kind of come into the Duchess Fear, they're like, wow, $24. And it's like, step back. You're not buying a six-pack of 5% vodka sodas.
Hell no.
You're buying a proper full cocktail. This is, it's not really four cocktail Joes. It's really eight cocktails.
Exactly.
Show me one bar in town where I can get eight cocktails for $24.
Yep. Especially today where it's like one.
Yeah. I think it's below legal minimum price for what restaurants can even charge.
You can't get eight PBRs in any town for $24.
So, and that, therein lies that's the thing. And, and it didn't take the market long to figure that out. Yeah. They've now figured out like, okay, this isn't a six-pack of nudes. This is a proper cocktail put together.
Yep.
And so the idea, even then, when you think that each one of these beautiful little bottles, it's 280 milliliters, kind of close to two bottles of wine. Two bottles of wine for $24 is a good deal.
100%.
Especially if you can get them this potable and this drinkable. And it's really working. It's working really well. But then there's the option, of course, the sports club on the Duchess line has come along. We're using agave spirits and flavors like that.
Mm-hmm.
The active Duchess,
if you will,
because these are just sitting around the patio.
This really encourages like a beautiful glassware situation at home. And we have one of we love our customers. I feel like I'm best friends with all of our customers. I send them handwritten notes. Like I love them.
Oh wow!
And they send us photos all the time of all the different types of glassware that they use, and they make it their Duchess moment. But Duchess Sports Club wasn't just like, hey, let's get into the can space. It was that our customers kept putting our drinks into their tumblers for the tennis courts, for the golf course. And we were like, hey, we love you for this. Like, that's a 12% drink on the golf course. Let us give you something just a little ease into the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so these are 6% and designed to be spa-like, refreshing flavor profiles.
So you said that you went in with no set expectation other than you wanted to sell your product.
Yep.
So where are you at in terms of expectation? Far beyond expectation?
Yes, 100%. I think, to be candid, the first year in business, we weren't able to meet the demand. We couldn't get enough supply going.
It sounds like a good problem, but probably it's not.
I think a lot of people thought it was like a marketing tactic to build FOMO. It wasn't. We just couldn't do enough production.
Yeah.
And then that brought us into the beginning of 2022, and we actually took ourselves out of the market for 6-7 months. We could build a factory under our own licensing. We launched the factory. Fantastic, really big moment for us, and to have that in-house. And the liquor strike, sort of bad words to say around here probably, but that hit. And so we're like, well, we started the business in October of 2022 because that's when we feel like we really had control for the first time, and we've blown our expectations out of the water since then. It's been amazing.
So you're coming out of the gate with a new flavor, which is French 75, which is, again, as I'm learning in cocktail culture, it's not your everyday cocktail.
It's an occasion cocktail.
It's an occasion
a French
cocktail.
75 was like, that's okay. What you would have at weddings.
So that would...
Well, yeah, and there's a gold logo on this one. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, look at that.
She's cream and gold. And she's Bachelorette's wedding.
It's lightly sparkling French 75. Now, that begs the question then, are there other ideas ruminating in your head right now that you're not willing to disclose, but there's something coming?
Well, no, I can say it, because I think Daryl probably already knows, probably a sales sheet on his desk. We'll be bringing out a 12% Bellini in the bottle. This is going to be an Italian style Bellini, not a sweet.
Back that up. 12% Bellini in a bottle.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Really, really good. I'm really excited about that one. The margarita space is a competitive one and challenge accepted. We're doing a 12% margarita in the bottle.
So a real margarita.
A real margarita. Our customers, they want it. They want a Duchess margarita, so that's coming.
Right.
And so that'll be our spring-summer lineup. We'll have 5 bottled cocktails, and then we've got a few fun things planned for fall that I'll keep to myself for now.
Wow.
I got to build a new fridge, Joe.
No kidding.
Maybe Duchess Avenue over at Legacy.
Believe in a bottle. Now, that's thinking outside the box, even though I hate that expression. Again, we always say on the show that find a lane that isn't overcrowded and pursue it.
Yep.
And you're definitely doing that.
Well, thanks.
And you're local. And
we're
lovely.
Very local. We just built our factory in East Van. Everything is Vancouver-based.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's called Duchess other than Legacy Liquor Store. Are you widely available? Are you growing your network of where people could pick you up?
Yeah, we're definitely growing. We've 5X'd our stores, I think, in the past few months. We're in about a couple hundred. BCL just picked us up. So, we're very proud to be in Legacy and appreciate the continued support. And you can find us at any of the stores listed on our website.
And we're going to see you at the Feast Vancouver cocktail night on April 14th.
Which we'll be talking about later on in the program. Olivia Lovenmark, CEO, goddess of Duchess. What do you call yourself?
Cocktail Drinker.
Chief Cocktail Drinker.
CEO and founder is the official title.
Well, you founded something wonderful. And congratulations thus far. Come back when you do the Bellini in a bottle.
Absolutely.
I think Daryl and I might want to sample that.
Yeah, absolutely. You bet.
All right. Cheers.
Thank you for having me.
It's Vancouver's hottest selling segment in the world of spirits today. Cider, sodas, and cocktails. And you've got it exclusively on Sportsnet 650. Once again, your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store spirits educator, Daryl Lamb.
Hey everybody, my name is Arturo and welcome to Behind the Bar, an over to Mike show about making cocktails brought to you by the Northside Fresh, a pop-up bar opening this summer in Vancouver. We like to do things clean and pristine, and I'll go step by step with you for 2 cocktails we got lined up for today. The first is similar to the classic Sazerac, whiskey, simple syrup, and bitters, but I'll explain more later. The other cocktail is a bit more funky, a bit more fruity, perfect for the springtime coming around. The first cocktail I've called an Odin Club. It's got a smidge of absinthe, orange vanilla cinnamon syrup, very tasty, Peychaud bitters, an orange peel, and the all-important Canadian Club 12 Year. Not many tools for this guy, just a mixing glass, a jigger, a bar spoon, and Ross glass. Ready? Let's go. We'll put a dash of the absinthe in the Ross glass, swirl it around the glass to spread the sweet anise aroma it has, and dump it out after a good 10 seconds. This is called rinsing, a common technique in bartending to spritz things up with its smell more so than taste. Using the mixing glass, put the rest of the ingredients. We'll start with 3 dashes of the Peychaud's, adding 3/4 ounces of the syrup. The orange, vanilla, and cinnamon syrup will bring out the main flavors that make up the Canadian Club. The orange for its fruitiness, the vanilla flavor that is brought by the white oak American bourbon barrels used for aging, and the cinnamon for the spiciness it has from the char in the barrels. Lastly, we'll put 2.5 ounces of the iconic Canadian Club 12 Year. Stir everything briefly for about 10 seconds. Nice and easy. There you are. Next, add ice to the Ross glass. A king cube is best for the slower dilution to not water it down too much. But if you don't have one, no worries. Then pour the contents of the mixing glass into the Ross glass. Stir briefly again, cooling it down a touch, keeping it smooth. Now grab an orange and we'll peel off an orange twist for the garnish. And there you have it, the Northern Club. Enjoy, guys. And today we are showcasing the incredible flavor and dexterity of the Canadian Club 12 Year, so it will be the centerpiece in the second cocktail as well. We're keeping it simple for this cocktail, so the tools we'll use is a muddler, a copper tin, a regular glass works just fine as long as it has roughly 10 ounces of room, a jigger, and a bar spoon. This cocktail is called the Buttercup Fan Club, a fun name for its lively ingredients and how suitable it is when the sun is shining. It's made with the Canadian Club 12 Year, apple juice, peach slices, apple slices, and mint for the garnish, and the exciting ingredient of butterscotch. Canadian Club 12 Year has a long finish of butterscotch when drank neat, so I really wanted that to shine. It's sweet and not too difficult to make, but I'll show you how to make it on the Northside Fresh's Instagram. So let's get right into it. In the glass, we'll add 3 peach slices, 1/2 ounce of the apple juice, and 1 ounce of the creamy butterscotch. We'll muddle that together for about 10 to 15 seconds, bringing out the fresh juice of the peaches. Sure, it's now a little creamy and slightly dense. Next, add 2 ounces of the Canadian Club 12 Year, which should round things out. I'll stir briefly for 10 seconds. And this will mix it up nicely. My days, I'm getting excited already. After that, it gets very simple. I like to use crushed ice, just like in a sherry cobbler, another refreshing cocktail. But if you don't have any, you can just top up with regular ice and skip to the garnish. If we are using crushed ice, we'll add to nearly fill the glass with ice, but 3/4 of the way. Stir until it levels down, then add another chunk to have the crushed ice have a nice round top. For the garnish, we'll use thinly cut apple slices and a mint bouquet. Now that we have reached the end, I recommend using a straw and enjoy the Buttercup Fan Club. Well, everybody, hopefully you enjoyed these cocktails and your time with us in Behind the Bar. My name, once again, is Arturo, and I'd like to thank Joe, everyone at Sportsnet 650, and JustForTheBeer.com for having us. I come from the North Side Fresh. Give us a follow on Instagram for a video on these cocktails. Thank you for joining me, and have a lovely day.
You're listening to Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show on Sportsnet 650. Here again are your hosts, Joe Leary, and Legacy Liquor Store brand ambassador, Daryl M.
Welcome back to Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show, broadcasting on Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM HD3, and available through all streaming services. Check out the podcast. Go to sportsnet.ca/650. We are sponsored and powered by Canadian Club and Ginger Ale. Meet your new cold one. We're at Taste of Legacy, Joe Leary and Daryl Lamb. Holly Kemp is the general manager of Taste of Legacy. What a pleasure to see
always,
you.
Always, Joe. Always a pleasure.
And you run this operation, and you're the fittest person I know. How many miles did you run today?
Today was a 4-miler. It was a little bit slower than
I love that. Let's welcome Jenny Rue, who is the owner of Feast Vancouver. Now, this is good to know because the last couple of years, basically nothing has been able to be staged in terms of public events, tasting events, drinking events, whatever they may be. Feast Vancouver just sounds on the surface like it's going to be something I think Daryl and I are going to enjoy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show. So Feast Vancouver is a week-long festival celebrating food, drink, people gathering. We have expert classes happening on it's April 11th to the 15th.
Right.
We've got expert classes happening on the 11th and 12th where you can learn how to make a poke bowl, where you can learn how to do some amazing kitchen baking stuff at the Caddo Kitchen Party, learn how to do some home hacks for seafood. And then there's also a specialty tea and food pairing. Those are the expert classes that you'll be learning.
We were talking about tea earlier, Joe. The culture in this city is growing, and I love the fact that Feast Vancouver is an early adopter on. I think tea is going to be an important thing. Tea mixed cocktails, things like that. And then, of course, speaking of cocktails, Legacy Liquor Store is the official liquor store of Feast Vancouver, and there are two incredible public events that I personally will be at both of them, and I'm looking forward to them both. We've got a canned cocktail festival on April 14th, and then, of course, the legendary Feast Vancouver Gala, where you'll be able to try food from Michelin star restaurants and drink some of the finest wine in the world, Joe. It's going to be unbelievable.
And Holly, there have been festivals of this nature, you know, whether they be collectives of food or beverage or whatever, but it must be kind of cool to see a return to normal.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Taste of Legacy, we are doing exactly the same thing in a smaller vein than what Jenny's proposing. She's putting the food on the table. We're pairing with the wines or the Friday night, it's the ready-to-drink cocktails, which you guys are talking about at all times.
You know, Duchess is going to be there. There's a whole bunch of great stuff.
Duchess, Olay, Club Car, you know, we've got an entire list of everybody that's going to be there. But really what it is people are looking to get back out and eat and drink together, which COVID killed us. Mm-hmm. And now the resurgence is coming back to a point where the festivals give us that opportunity.
Right. This sounds, is it a ticketed event, Jenny? Like what are the details on how people can participate in Feast Vancouver?
It is a ticket event. You can go to feastvancouver.com and check out our website to see the various different expert classes and collaborative dinners, as well as six signature events that Daryl was mentioning. The Feast Tasting brings together 18 chefs local and across Canada. They'll each have a station where you'll try a signature canapé, as well as a pairing of some alcohol. And then the RTD event you'll be able to taste at least 50 plus different types of ready-to-drink.
It's going to be awesome, Joe. I can't wait. Like we curated it. We made sure it wasn't a parade of vodka sodas. Everybody's pouring something different. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun. Olay's going to be there. Dutch is going to be there. All the big hitters. A lot of fun stuff. There's going to be proper, like real cocktails, like the Wiser's Manhattan, all that sort of stuff. We're really, really proud of this event. It's the event that Vancouver used to have and hasn't had for a few years and is finally back. Really great stuff, Joe. It's going to be unbelievable.
Well, I'm just curious because with a new council, for example, I mean, is it an easier city, I guess, I would think, to get approvals for? And I can only imagine, Jenny, probably took a lot of meetings in order to come together with what you've been able to bring together. Correct?
I've basically been living at Taste of Legacy for the past couple of months. bugging.
We know this.
Well, there's a full kitchen here. There and, is, yeah. And a well-stocked bar. Yeah,
exactly.
So you can't go wrong.
I just want to say one thing just in terms of I don't know what day that I don't read that a restaurant in Vancouver is closing.
That's right.
And there are restaurants that have been around for so long, and we're loyal and we're committed. And these restaurants need some, they need some, like, support. Yep. And this is our way of, we're bringing the best food that you can possibly have, the best cocktails you can possibly have, and we're bringing them all together. And we're saying, look, we need to support local. Mm-hmm. And I'm a local global thinker, but I'm really local.
You're a British Columbian. You're like, you and
I'm
Joe are the only two.
In, yeah. Where did they all go? You know? You don't go to Winnipeg. Don't you just come from Winnipeg?
That's right. We're all from somewhere else. Right. I don't understand you're right. British Columbian.
Yeah, we just came from here and we stayed because we knew what we have.
So FeastVancouver.com is where I go to get all the tickets, right? FeastVancouver.com. Come down. You'll meet Joe. The legendary Joe Leary will be there on the Friday night at the Cannes Cocktail Festival.
Of course I will. Absolutely. And it's obviously, it's a very ambitious undertaking to do something like this because you know all the hoops you got to jump through and licensing and all this sort of stuff. And again, we've been shuttered for the last couple of years. So it's nice to know that there's things back again. FeastVancouver.com, you said. And Daryl, we will see you there for sure.
Heck yeah, you will.
Me there. Holly.
I'm there too.
You're there.
Don't you worry.
Jenny Ruth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Joe, as usual, thank you.
My pleasure. That is our RTD show.
What a jam-packed show, right?
An absolute jam-packed show. And we look forward to the next one. Of course, next one will be in April when the weather will be even brighter, a little warmer, and we'll talk even more canned cocktails.
That was perfect. That was our Power Women show. We had Victoria, Jenny, Holly, Olivia. It was great, you know, like just let the bosses work.
Absolutely. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Mr. Greg Ballack, for being so patient with us as we sit here and ramble on and on and on. That is a wrap for the RTD show, again, powered by Canadian Club and Ginger Ale. Meet your new cold one. We'll see you next month. Cheers.
Cider, sodas, and cocktails, the RTD show, and you've got it on Sportsnet 650.